you have your Bibles, we're going to be in John chapter 11. John chapter 11, and we're on our second week of a series. Anybody remember what our series is about? Jesus. It's always about Jesus. It's always going to be about Jesus. Absolutely. It's about living faith, right? And last week we talked about God help my unbelief. And remember the guy, the father, he looked at Jesus and he said, I believe, but help my unbelief, right? There are times where it's just so deep, where what we're facing is so difficult and so hard that God, we need you to help us take that extra step. Yeah, we believe. We believe in you for our salvation. We believe that you died and rose again. We believe that only through you is eternal life. We believe that, Jesus. But man, what I'm going through right now is so hard and so difficult. Jesus, would you help my unbelief? And so that was last week, and so today, our second week in this series, we're going to be talking about this supernatural belief, this ability to look beyond the natural. And how many of you consider yourself to be logical thinkers? You're a logical person. You look at science. You look at things that happen logically. You look at things that you call yourself a realist. I think about things that are real, Pastor Jim. I don't get into the unreal things. I'm going to challenge you today in your belief system. I'm going to challenge you to look beyond the natural. And I'm not going to tell you to deny logic, because logic is the very thing that God uses to help you in this. But look beyond the logical and the natural to the supernatural. When Adam sinned and fell, and all of mankind fell, we all got this sin nature. And Pastor Jim, when I sin, I'm just doing what comes natural. I don't know how many times I've had someone tell me, I'm just doing what comes natural. I'm not, you know, I just can't help myself. I get that. But God is asking us to live a supernatural life, to overcome that natural, that sin nature, and live a supernatural life. And in your walk with Him, sometimes your lack of faith in the supernatural keeps you or blocks you from seeing God do the miracle, seeing God do the miraculous. There are things that God wants to do in your life, and you've set up a roadblock. You've set up this unbelief. God, I want to believe, but I struggle to believe. And God, And so today we're going to talk about having this supernatural belief. So you can't always trust what the eye can see. The natural eye can just see so much. There's only so much that we can see. We can see just a short period of moment in time. If we're really smart, we can look back at history and see some of the history, but the reality is we can't even see history because we weren't there. We can read about it. We can hear other people talk about it, but we weren't there. We're really stuck with the here and the now, and maybe we can remember our own history, but the funny thing is, have you ever been thinking about the past and realize that you remembered it incorrectly? A brother or sister, maybe the parent who spanked you, reminds you of the truth of what actually happened that day, and you have somehow conveniently distorted the truth. We can't even trust our own past, our own history, because we just struggle to see it how it really is. So we really can only kind of see the here and the now with our natural eyes. But God is asking us to look beyond the natural, look beyond the logical, and see what is illogical, what is supernatural. See, God set into place natural laws. There are natural law of order that happens in the world that we live in. There are the laws of physics and the laws of science, and science is a good thing because science allows you to observe the laws that God put into place by Himself, and you can observe those, you can measure those, you can actually tell what's going on by the science. And so what you see with your eyes, you can, and think with your mind, you can see that God put it into place. And you can measure it, you can understand it. There's a law of gravity. If you don't believe it, jump off the ladder and see how hard you hit. It will let you know there's a law of gravity. There's a law of motion, right? There's the three laws of motion. There are the laws of thermodynamics. There are many other laws that I'm not smart enough to understand. And, and maybe failed in my science class, right? But I know that there's these laws that God put into place. There's this, the earth does spin in a certain, Josh and I argue about this, but the earth spins and rotates in a certain way so as not to be too close to the sun or too far away. If it was to change on its axis at any point or moment, we would off into space. And if it were to change its distance, we would burn up or freeze to death, you know, one or the other. There are laws put into place that God put there, and our eyes see them, and we know them. But man, sometimes it's really hard for us to believe the supernatural, to stop blocking what God wants to do in our life. James chapter 4, verses 2 to 3, and this has really been on my heart this last several weeks. He says in verse 2, you desire, but you do not have, so you kill. Ouch, that's pretty intense. You covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and you fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. King James says, you have not because you ask not. You do not have because you haven't asked God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You ever ask with the wrong motives? I know I do. I know there are times where my motives aren't pure, and there are times when I ask God for things that maybe I shouldn't be asking Him for. But man, when you can ask with the right motives, when you can ask God, I want your will to be done, and you actually ask Him, you don't just think about it or ponder it, but you say, God, I need you to show up and do this thing, whatever it is. Because He said, you have not because you ask not. Jesus said a very similar thing. He said, whatever you ask in my name, I will give you. God's, my Father has given me the authority, and I will give you these things. You ask them in my name, in my will, I will do those things for you. And how many times do we sit back and complain and get frustrated and get hurt and get angry because God didn't show up and God didn't do this and God didn't do that and, oh, I forgot to ask. I forgot to say, God, I need your help in this. See, God's not going to make you believe, and He's not going to make you trust in Him. He's not going to make you ask. You have to ask. Just like we talked last week, you have to take that small mustard seed that's lying there dormant, that's actually dead, faith, and you have to plant it, let it be regerminated, let it germinate, and you have to plant it, and just that little bit of seed, that little bit of faith is enough to grow this 15-foot mustard seed tree. It's enough to say to that thing in your life, move, and it will move. It's just a little bit, but you have to do something with it. You have to ask. You have to act. You have to believe. And today we're going to talk about a very popular story, one we've already discussed once or twice this year in the book of John, chapter 11, starting in verse 38. But in the beginning of that story, it's a story where Martha and Mary and Lazarus, it says, whom Jesus loved. Jesus has this passion. He loves these guys like he loves us so much. We sang that first song, Oh, How He Loves Us. God has this amazing love for us, and Jesus shared that love with them. He told them how much He loved them. He appreciated them. They knew it. And Lazarus got sick, and Martha and Mary sent someone to Jesus because Jesus had left and had left town, went across the Jordan, it said, and was reaching people, preaching and teaching. It said, and many people had believed. And Jesus was off doing ministry. But back in Bethany, where Lazarus lived, he was sick. Matter of fact, he was so sick, he was dying. And they came to Jesus, and they said, Jesus, Lazarus is sick. Would you come back? They sent people to him, and he says to him, Lazarus will not die, that this sickness is not unto death. Don't worry. And I love the verse that says that he loved them, so he stayed two more days. And if you know the story, him staying longer allowed time for Lazarus to die. And when he gets back there, he gets back to the town of Bethany. He's on the outskirts of it, coming into town. Martha hears that he's coming, and Martha gets up and runs to Jesus, and she says these famous words, Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. Isn't that a terrible thing? Have you ever had someone come up to you and say, if you would have been here, this wouldn't have happened, and you're just, your heart just breaks? That feeling of helplessness, that feeling of hopelessness, that feeling of, oh, I let him down. And she's looking at Jesus and she says, Jesus, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. And Jesus said, don't you believe? He says, yeah, I believe. I believe that you're the Messiah. I believe that he will rise again someday in the resurrection. Yeah, I believe. And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, don't you trust me? You've trusted me with your eternal life. Don't you trust me with the everyday, day-to-day things? But ringing in his ears were the words, but Jesus, if you'd have been here, if only you'd have showed up, things would have been different. Mary hears that Jesus is here. Martha goes back, tells him that Mary is here. She runs out to see him. In the exact same words she says to Jesus that Martha said, Jesus, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And everybody saw the emotion and they saw how she ran to him. They knew how much she loved Jesus and Jesus loved her. And they looked at him and with skepticism in their heart, they said, huh, he could heal the blind. Why couldn't he take care of the sick? Why didn't he heal Lazarus? Why did he let Lazarus die? And so doubt was already there. But Jesus had told them, if you just believe, I'll take care of the situation. But you got to trust me. You got to put your trust in me. You got to move from this, what my eye can see, because my eye sees it logically, duh, he's dead. My eyes are telling me that he's no longer with us, and he won't ever be with us again. It's 4 days. He stinks. He's starting to rot. Jesus. And he says, if you believe. And Martha said something else that's very interesting. She said, I know whatever you ask, the Father will give you. So she still got this hope, this little bit of hope. All things are possible for you, Jesus. All things are possible for you. But you weren't here, right? She goes back. You weren't here. John chapter 11, verse 38 says this. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Verse 39, take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? And so they took away the stone, and then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, and his hand and feet were wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. First thing I see in your notes is you will not see in the physical until you believe in the spiritual realm. You will not see in the physical until you believe in the spiritual realm. It takes that supernatural belief, that belief that God will do what his laws say can't be done. That God will trump his natural laws with this supernatural law and overcome the odds. That God's going to find whatever's going on in your life that's causing the problem. He's going to break that law that says you're going to die, or that law that says you're not going to make it, or whatever the physical law is. He's going to break that natural law, and he's going to trump it with his supernatural law. You won't see the physical until you believe in the spiritual realm. You're not going to see the thing you need taken care of until you spiritually believe that God can do it. I find it interesting in verse 38 that Jesus shows his emotions. And yet showing in his emotions, he never loses track of his theology. He knows that his Father has heard him. He knows that his Father can bypass the natural, the logical, and do the supernatural. And he knows that, and even in his emotion, he never loses sight of his theology. He's compassionate. His heart is broken, even though he knows in just a few moments he's going to solve the problem. He feels their pain, and he feels what they're going through. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves you. In the midst of what you're going through, he's got this incredible heartache and heartbreak for you because he understands the pain that you're in. Verse 35, the shortest verse in the Bible, says that Jesus wept. He was so broken. His heart was so hurt. Verse 25 and 26, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yeah, they said, I believe this. And yet here they are, heartbroken and hurting. And Jesus asked a question, where have you laid him? And they said, come and see. And he wept over that. Doubt was already there. The people had seen that Jesus had this emotion. They'd seen that Jesus cared, but they said, man, why didn't he heal him before he died? Why did he let him die? So doubt is already there. Your logic says that whatever you're facing is impossible. Your logic says that it can't be done. And yet, even though the facts are accurate and correct, if you live in your logic, it will block your miracle. If you live in your logic, it will block your miracle. We'll be limited by the supernatural when we do not move the stone. When we do not act on his command, whether we understand the how or the not. Have you ever noticed that sometimes it's really hard to understand? As a logical person, I always try to figure out how God is going to do it. And I always put him in a box because I always limit what his abilities are, because I always say, that's physically impossible. How can he do it? And he doesn't need my physical impossibilities. He can move outside of those and do anything that he wants. But I put him in a box and I block and I deny the supernatural because I'm afraid that it can't be done. My logic tells me it's impossible. My logic tells me it's not going to happen. And yet he steps outside of that logic to do the supernatural. Sometimes, you ever notice sometimes we're too smart for ourselves? Sometimes we talk ourselves out of what God could do. Oh, we know God could do it, but he ain't going to do it. Oh, I know that he wants to, but he ain't going to, anything happening. It never happens for me. I always hear that one. I've been waiting, and it just doesn't happen. Matter of fact, if the truth be known, some of you would say, God never answers my prayer. He could have showed up, and he didn't show up. And you're already quit before you've even started. Your natural logic has said to you, it ain't going to happen. My marriage is too far gone. It's never going to happen. My emotional abuse is too deep, and I can never be freed from it. I'm a professional victim because I can never overcome what I'm going through, and it's always somebody else's fault. And in that denial, logic, we block what God is wanting to do. And unless we open up ourselves to the fact that God moves outside of the realm of the natural and can do things that only he can do, will we ever be freed from that. We can't figure it out. We can't understand how God's going to do it. Remember last week we read in Matthew 13:58, it says, and he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. In the town of Nazareth, the town that Jesus grew up in, they kept looking at him and that's little Jesus. That's the little carpenter boy. And they kept, even though they seen the things and heard the things that he did, he did not do very many miracles because of their lack of faith. Second thing I see in this passage, verse 40, the glory of God is God on display in your life. The glory of God is God on display in your life. Jesus said, this has happened so that God will be glorified. The glory of God is God on display in your life. It's God showing up and he's using this giant billboard to tell you and to tell everybody else, I'm going to do something that nobody else can do. I'm going to do what you thought could never be done. I'm going to help you pass that test you thought you could never pass. I'm going to help you provide for your family in a way you thought you never could provide. I'm going to help you to overcome what people said you could never overcome. I'm going to help you to get past that fear that has been totally killing you and keeping you from moving in this realm of the supernatural. I'm going to do what no one else has said can be done. It's God on display in your life. God's glory being shown in your realm. Many times you and I are blocking our miracles when our logic, even though it's correct, trumps what God said. Doubt or delay will freeze you and keep you from your miracle. Have you ever been frozen with fear to the point that you blocked God from doing what he wanted to do? You just gave up. You were so scared. You just kind of in your mind said, you know what, there's no reason to even try. I've messed up so bad, I've gone this far too far. It's no way that God can do this, and you shut yourself down. You know what's funny? She's talking to the God of the universe. She's talking to Jesus, who in John chapter 1 says that he created all things. So she's talking to the creator, and she says to him, biologically, this is impossible. And she's giving him a biology lesson instead of trusting in him. She's talking to the creator and telling him, this can't happen because. Roll the stone away. Lord, he stinks. I don't need a biology lesson. I need your faith. I don't need a biology lesson. I need you to trust me. I don't need you to tell me how bad it is. I know how bad it is. I don't need you to tell me I'm late. I'm always on time. I don't need you to tell me that I did it wrong. I never do it wrong. I'm sovereign. But Jesus, you're 4 days late. His body stinks. I want to tell you why it can't happen. Any negative Nancys in the room? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Right. Any negative Nancys? You're just always negative. It just can't happen. It ain't going to happen. God's just waiting to show up and display his glory. He's just waiting for you to trust him, waiting for you to give him permission, waiting for you to just allow him to work in your life in an amazing way. Oh, it never happens for me. It may happen for you, Pastor Jim, because you're a preacher, right? I always hear that one. You're a preacher. Of course he answers your prayers. Doesn't work that way. What did Paul say? Paul said, I prayed 3 times that God would take this thorn from my flesh, that God would heal my eyes. 3 times I prayed and said, Jesus, heal me. And 3 times God came back to him and said, my grace is sufficient. What God said to him is, I'm not going to heal you. You're always going to have eye problems. Those cataracts that are on your eyes, Paul, they're going to be there for a while. I'm not removing them. I can remove them, Paul, and I can give you the miracle. But I'm going to teach you, and I'm going to show you, and I'm going to do more things in your life because of that than I am if I healed you. And see, that's the hard part, isn't it? Because once again, God's glory is being on display. Paul is glorifying God, and God is showing up in miraculous ways. And yet, it didn't happen the way that we wanted it to happen. It didn't happen the way we expected it to happen. God, why not? There's the will of God. There's the revealed will of God, which is what's written in the Bible. What God's told us ahead of time, that this is my will and this is what I want to be done. So there's his revealed will, but then there's his secret will. Deuteronomy chapter 29:29 says that God has a secret will that we just don't understand. Isaiah 55 says his ways are not our ways. And so we don't understand exactly what all God is doing, what his secret will is. But I guarantee you, he will never do his revealed will, or he'll never do his secret will, if we don't obey his revealed will. When he says to us, you have not because you ask not, He's not going to give it to you until you ask. He wants to, but he's waiting on you to allow him or to ask him or to give him permission to work in your life. Because he can do anything at any time, at any moment. But he won't break our free will. Isn't it crazy? He'll never take that away from you. It's up to you to ask. The third thing, verses 41 to 44, and we're closing with this, is everyone should be getting help to move a stone or be helping someone else move a stone. That's what community is. Everyone should be getting help to move a stone or be helping someone else move a stone. God desires us to work in community. God says to her, roll the stone away. She gives him this biological discussion. God, no, you can't. He stinks. And Jesus is like, just move the stone. Now, can you imagine being the guy who buried him, who pushed the stone in place? You got him ready and you put Lazarus in the grave. And now you're standing there and Jesus is talking and he says, move the stone. And you're like, oh, do you know how hard that is? Have you ever dug a hole, filled the hole back in, only to re-dig it again? I've done that. It stinks. Any military people? Some of you may have done that, right? Maybe in basic training. Dig that hole. Why? Because I said so. Now what am I going to do? Fill it back in. Now what am I going to do? Dig another hole. Why? Because I told you to. Yay! Right? God says to them, move the stone. Move the thing that Mary and Martha can't move. Help them out. And alongside of her comes this group of people, these people who love her, who care about her and them. And move this stone so that Jesus can then call Lazarus out of the grave. And they move the stone away. This group has got around them and they're helping her. And we should either be asking for someone to help us with that stone, or we should be helping others move that stone. Because that's what we do as brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what the church is. There are times where you can't move it. It's too deep. It's too hard. And you need someone to come along and help you. And there are other times where you're looking around and they're in hurt and they're in pain and they need you to step inside and help them and move that stone. And then Jesus calls out to the grave and he says, Lazarus, come forth. And he speaks to the natural with the supernatural. And Lazarus walks out. He didn't say, this is funny, right? He didn't say, come out. Everybody would have came out of the grave, right? The whole cemetery would have just all come up out of the grave, start walking out. Notice the specificity. The specifics of his prayer, of his statement. Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. When we're praying, we specifically pray, God, in this area of my life, do this miracle. God, in this area of my life, do this for me. God, I need your help in this area, whatever it is. What are you hurting in? What do you need his help in? What is it that you're waiting for him to do? Are you trapped? Does your situation stink? Do you need a miracle? Do you need a resurrection? Do you need liberated from what you're going through? Verse 41, Jesus says, Father, I thank you that you heard me. Notice he says in the past tense. He didn't say, Father, I thank you that you're going to do or hear me. He says, Father, I thank you that you heard me. If you look back at the beginning of the chapter, when he found out that, in verse 3 and 4, when he found out that Lazarus was sick and he needed help, he has a discussion with his father and he says, this is not going to end in death. The decision was made by God the Father and God the Son as they talked together. The decision was made to do this if they would just believe. Past tense, the doctrine of tenses is important here. Jesus says, I am. Who are you? They said to Moses. Tell him that I am sent you. That tense is important. It is in past tense. It has always existed. It is the tense that he has always been there and always will be there. But in this case, it was in the past tense saying he heard me, he heard my cry, and he's answered my prayer. It's important that we understand that Jesus is our intercessor in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. In Romans chapter 8, verse 27, the Holy Spirit is our intercessor. It says it prays according to God's will. Jesus and the Holy Spirit are interceding on your behalf. And at that moment, when you ask for him to help you, to help with whatever you're going through, at that moment, they've already talked to the Father. They already know what they're going to do. And they pray and they ask. And Jesus says, Father, thank you. Thank you that you've heard my prayer. Thank you that you're going to answer. And out comes Lazarus, dead man walking. But notice as he comes out that he's shuffling his feet and his arms are bound and his feet are bound. He's been raised from the dead. He's been set free from death. But he's still not liberated, is he? And notice what he says to the rest of the people standing there. Go untie him. Go untie his hands, unwrap his feet. Free him from the bondage that he's in. Liberate him. Guys, we need each other. We need the body of Christ to help each other in what we're going through. Whatever miracle you need, whatever you're going through, whatever pain or hurt, you have brothers and sisters who are waiting to help you. And in that moment, we need to be the ones helping them. Because we either need help or we should be doing the helping. We either need help moving that stone or we should be the ones moving the stone. We either need help being freed. We're Lazarus and we're stuck and we can't get free. We need help to free us. Or we need to be the ones doing the freeing. God wants to use you to be a part of the miracle work that he's doing. It's not just God alone, and he's capable of that, but for some reason he's included us. You know, he said it's by the preaching of his word that people hear and that lives are changed. It's crazy. I'm thinking, Jesus, I appreciate you calling me, and I love to preach, but dude, you can do so much better than I. Jesus, your sermons are better than my sermons. Your thoughts are better than my thoughts. Jesus, why don't you just do it, and I'll just sit back and watch. Doesn't work that way. He calls all of us to work and participate and be a part of the miracles that he's doing in hearts and lives around us. So we get ready to close. In a verse we didn't read, verse 45, it says that many believed in him. They believed in him because of what they saw. They believed in him because of the testimony of what God is doing. Guys, when God does those miracles in your life, and he will, if you'll open those doors, if you'll unblock and believe, he'll do what you never thought he could do, and he'll answer those prayers. And when he does that, we need to talk. We need to be sharing. We need to be telling. We need to be glorifying him because he's always there opening doors. He's doing what no one thought could be done, and we need to be testifying. We need to be giving our testimony. We need to be telling people, look what God has done. Check out what's happening in my life. I trusted him, and look what happened. Was it 4 days late? Yeah. Why was it 4 days late? So God could be glorified. Why did God need to be glorified? Because your neighbor needed to know. Because your child needed to know. Because your husband needed to know. Because your parents needed to know. Somebody around you needs to know who God is and what God's wanting to do. And so he wants to be glorified. He needs that to happen because they're just waiting. They're there waiting for someone to tell them this good news. Oh, Pastor Jim, they've heard it all the time. I get you. But God uses that circumstance of what illogically can't happen. And when he answers that prayer, all of a sudden the other person goes, whoa, what just took place? I never thought they would get saved. Whoa. If God can save them, maybe he can save me. I never thought they would change. God can change them. Maybe he can change me. I never thought God would answer their prayers. If God answers their prayers, maybe he'll answer my prayers. Don't block the supernatural. God is waiting to do things beyond your wildest dreams. In his will, his secret will, he's waiting to do things you never thought possible. Logically, it doesn't make any sense. Don't block what he's wanting to do. Just trust him, put your belief in him, and allow him to do what he's wanting to do in your life. I'm going to ask the song leaders to come. Amanda, if you'd come. Pam, if you would come. What is that miracle that you need? What is it that's being blocked in your life? For most of us, it's not the dramatic, a person who's passed away. Most of us, it's not to that extent. But maybe we have a family member who's on deathbed and they're not going to make it. Maybe we have a marriage that's on its deathbed. Maybe it's already dead. You've already tapped out. You've checked the pulse and ain't breathing. God's able. God's able. Pastor Jimmy, you don't know my son. He is so far from God, he can never be reached. Yeah, he can. Yeah, he can. It looks impossible to you and your logic tells you it's never going to happen, but it can happen if you just believe. Do you believe? God's asking every one of us today, do you believe? Do you trust me to do what nobody else can do? To unblock that miracle? To go outside the box, outside the natural laws and do what could never be done? Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe today you're sitting here and for you, that blocked miracle is your salvation. You've tried to trust in him, but you just can't. You've tried to give it to him, but you just won't let go. And today, as he's knocking on your heart's door, he's asking you, will you let me in? Will you let me save you and give you eternal life? I'm willing. Will you let me? It's not impossible. I can do that. Jesus already paid the price. It's already been done. It's just a matter of you believing, trusting, and allowing me to. If that's your heart's cry, you've never trusted the Lord as your Savior, and you want to do that today, would you just raise your hand and say, Brother Jim, pray for me as I give my life to Christ today. Pray for me as I allow him to do the impossible. If you're here today and you've got a relationship with Christ and you've got some things in your life that just you've been holding on to, that you just haven't trusted him and you've been blocking what he wants to do and you want to allow him to do that today, would you just raise your hand and say, Brother Jim, pray for me. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Pastor Jim, I got a miracle I need. Lord bless you. I see that hand. I got a miracle I need, and I just, if he doesn't show up, it ain't happening. Anybody else? Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. God sees your hands. He sees your heart. Lord bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so humbled to be in your presence, to realize that you love us so much, that you want to unblock that miracle. Father, you love us so much that whatever that need is in our life, and for every person that raised their hand, it's different, Father. Every person that raised their hand, there's something going on that nobody else can do, nobody else can touch. And today, Father, they're just stepping out in faith, believing you, trusting you to do what's illogical, to do the supernatural. Father, we've been living in the natural so long, and we're so pessimistic and so skeptical. But God, you want to do what no one thought could be done. So Father, today, as they surrender that to you, would you answer their prayers? Would you show them your will, your specific will for them? Father, would you bless them, minister to them? May they walk out of this place knowing that they have asked and that they will receive. That Father, you're going to grant within your will, you're going to grant their request to do amazing things in their life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.